Kansas. Hearing him call me his own, just feeling at home. Feeling at home. Putting my feet right under his table, knowing I won't be alone.
He gave me a chance when he brought me in. He gave me a chance and new life with him. He gave me a chance and he let me be one of his chosen for eternity. He gave me a chance when he brought me in. He gave me a chance and new life with him. He gave me a chance and he let me be one of his chosen for eternity. He gave me a chance when he brought me in. He gave me a chance and new life with him. He gave me a chance and he let me be one of his chosen for eternity. He gave me a chance when he brought me in. He gave me a chance and new life with him. Come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord. Come on in, let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above the clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and take His hand. Reach on up above the clouds. Reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord. Reach up and take His hand. Reach on up above the clouds. Reach on up, feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, come on in. Let's reach up and touch the Lord. Come on in. Let's reach up and take His hand. Reach on up above the clouds. Up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above.
quick, I just want to welcome everyone here tonight. We got Brother Smith and Brother Durham went to the campground. And went to the campground left today. And so I just, in case y'all were wondering where they were tonight, but I just want to get up and encourage everybody to, got a testimony or song or something to contribute to the service, just be led of the Spirit and let the Lord use you tonight. So I just want to welcome everybody here.
Just, I want the Lord to know how much I appreciate it too, how much He's touched him, and not taken for granted. You know, it's not by chance. You know, we are people; things don't happen to us by chance. And I just want the Lord to know how much I appreciate it and everything He's done for us. And I just feel the covering of the Lord, and I feel His strength, and I feel His peace about it. It was hard to go through to see, you know, someone you love and you care about. And he's never been sick like that before. And anything like that has ever happened to him, close to that even. And it was just an experience that it never happened to me before. And I'm not good with those kind of emergencies. But I appreciate the Lord and what He's done for us. And also I just want everybody to know here that how much I just love y'all for praying for Him and for lifting this up. And I felt the comfort and of all your prayers and all your love and your concern for us. And I just want the Lord to know how much I appreciate Him for just being there. And He is a faithful God. He's a faithful Father. And I just love the Lord, and I appreciate y'all.
Thankful I am to be here and to be a part of God's family. And that band song we started off with, I know the words, I know the song by heart. I probably do it in my sleep, but the phrase in there in one of the verses stood out to me tonight, that something had said something about family. I don't remember exactly, but you know, bringing, and you know, I've just thought, you know, feeling at home. Just, I always thought of just feeling comfortable, feel, you know, but to actually be part of the family, he's brought me, and that's then my mind just started going on those. He brought me in, and you know, and I thought, he brought me in when he allowed me to be born into a family who was part of the body. He brought me in that way. He gave me a chance that way. But I'm really, really thankful that he touched my mind one day, because I've seen too many through the years in my life that, you know, can say the same thing I can, that they were born in the body or whatever, and that did not, you know, that didn't make it. You know, that's one kind of a chance. But then that somehow he gave me a chance when he touched my mind, and he let me see. He let me be one of his chosen. He gave me that chance, that opportunity. He said, okay, here. And we were at Rachel and I went to the Batesville fellowship meeting last weekend, and one thing that stood out to me, Brother Benfield, in talking, he made the statement. He said, "What are you going to do with the truth when you hear it? What are you going to do with it?" And that just really, that just kind of stood out to me, you know, that sooner or later, at some point, God is going to give you an opportunity to hear the truth on something, you know. I mean, he's going to give you a chance to see, and what are you going to do with it? That was my choice. You know, I didn't choose to be brought into this church. So many people are brought in as children or young or whatever. I didn't choose. That wasn't my choice. But my choice is, what am I going to do with it? When I do finally understand and I do finally see, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to make excuses? I'm going to say, well, so-and-so out there doesn't have to do that, so, you know, whatever. What am I going to do with it? That's the chance that God gives me to make that choice. And I'm thankful for that. Someone recently was talking about how, you know, it's all about changing, really. It's all about changing. It's all about, once I know, am I going to let that truth change me? Am I going to let it get into my life and make changes in the way that I respond to people, to things around me, to the trials and the situations? I want to change. That's really what it's all about. Because I can't become like him unless I change. I got to change a lot. I'm just telling y'all, a lot. But I can't do that unless I let that truth get down inside there and I allow those changes to happen. And I can only do that if I stay in the boat, if I stay in the fire, whatever you want to call it. That's the only way it's going to happen. So I'm thankful that he gave me that chance. I'm thankful he made me a part of his family. I'm thankful that he let the truth come my way, at least as much as we know. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for where he's brought me.
Kind of taking in what you know has been said today, and you know, we our family here is us who we see here, and who's here. And I was thinking of when Sister Watson was talking about you know, she's wanting to please the Lord. Isn't that what we all want to do? We want to please the Lord. And you know, and sometimes, just like among your family, you know that it's not the big things that you do for one another. It's really the small things, isn't it? I could buy my wife a new car, and what would we have? We'd have payments, wouldn't we? But you know, I can pick up, you know, half a dozen roses every now and then. That goes a long way, doesn't it? It's just, or not even that. You know, it wouldn't even have to be that. Just small things, isn't it? But that's the. You know, and that's the way God is too. You know, it's the small things. You know, we had a saying around here one time that, in my mind, it might not have been, but you know how we perceive things differently sometimes. But we're going to ring the bell tonight, you know. Oh, man, wasn't that a blessing if you rung the bell, wasn't it? Well, it almost exalted you too, quite honestly. You know, hey, I run the bell tonight. But, and what that meant was, you know, you delivered a message or a testimony that really touches people's hearts. And that was good. There was nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's just the small things, isn't it? The small things. Just somebody getting up and saying how thankful, how they got here. And just the things that, you're thankful for your salvation. Just to have a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus. Those are important things, aren't they? And I know we're all thankful for understanding revelations, you know, what the beast is and have a kind of a idea what Babylon is to be an overcomer and become perfect and resurrection, who gets to resurrect, how we're going to resurrect and what body it shall be. But along the way, till we get there, it is just the small things, isn't it? Especially as we grow older, we really appreciate the small things, don't we? You know, and I was a young man, or when I was even a child, I thought as a child, you know, understood as a child. And, you know, when I was a child, you know, one of the greatest things to me was Superman, you know. Oh, man, if I could just fly. Oh, man, up there, you know, and had laser beams coming out of my eyes and, you know, jump over buildings with a single bound, you know. And that was a big thing, you know. That's what I thought of, you know. But as we become older and more mature, we cast down imaginations, don't we? And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so that's what we do. We God winks at our ignorance, when we become men and women of God, we put away childish things, don't we? So really, we get down to where what Brother Tucker used to call where the rubber meets the road. It's just life, and things that we have to do with life. And I thought that Sister Watson said she wanted to please God, and that just sticks with me. Don't we all want to please God? And some of these things, these small things that we do, you know, when your trial comes, you know when you notice it the most? Is when you come to church and so-and-so didn't shake your hand, or so-and-so said something, you know, that wasn't quite, you know, I don't know what he meant by that. And you start thinking about that, you know. Oh, man, I don't know, man. It just, you know, why did I even go to that church for? They didn't shake my hand. They didn't, you know, call my name three times. I heard that on the campground tape. You know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm or something, you know. And then that trial comes, doesn't it? That's when why it comes? That's when you notice it the most. When you're on your low ebb. That's when you notice it. When you're up on the mountain, trials come. You know, you just thump at it, you know. Just thump it, you know. Okay, yeah. No problem. But after you've been beat down and quite honestly, you know, just because somebody didn't shake your hand, that really wasn't a problem. The problem was, is between the headsets, as Brother Dodge used to say, is the way you perceived it. It's the way you perceive it. And it's just a small thing, wasn't it? What if that brother and sister was just having a bad day and just, you know, had so much on their mind and you stuck out your hand and just, you know, and walked past you and all that, you know. And I know it. I know everybody's mature enough here. We don't get offended by a handshake, but, you know, it could be other things. You know, it's a... It could be many things, you know. But let me tell you something. It's still just a small thing, isn't it? And it's the little foxes that spoil the vine sometimes, isn't it? But it's the little things, too, that please the Lord, too. The small things we do. Just lifting up our hands and praising God. Let's everybody just lift up our hands. Just praise God right now. Thank you, Lord. My God, don't let me take this to a negative, you know, just remind us of our failures all the time. Sure, we've got failures, but praise God, we got victories too. We do got these victories. Sister Watson, you come through it, didn't you? You got the victory. Oh, and that's what touched your heart, to know that you could please God. You know, I've been tempted in my walk with God, you know, and I thought, you know what? I really enjoy being around God's people and discussing the Word of God. You know, if I was to be like Esau and sell my birthright or whatever, you know, however you figure that goes, and I would have no say here, would I? My words would fall flat. And so I cherish that. I cherish that. Don't you appreciate the Word of God God has given you? Maybe you're taking baby steps right now. But my Lord, and maybe you're just starting out with God, you know, and you know, but you still have to count the reproaches of Christ greater riches in the things of this world, don't you? I mean, to count that, you know, you when I first come here, you know, it's, and the people I work with is, you know, that's who you spend a lot of time with, is the people you work with. They start giving that funny look and everything, you know, and, you know, what's he up to, you know? And all this, you know, and you're young in the Lord, you feel that peer pressure, and, you know, sometimes you just don't know what to do, you know. But if you just hang on, and what you've done, you've pleased the Lord. It's just a small thing, you know. And as we mature and we grow and become more accountable, we hang on to God, don't we? We hang on to God. We still have to hang on. We still have to hang on because the trials get greater. The different things that God puts in front of us it's kind of like Brother Smith was talking about, you know, that man, that those martyrs, we appreciate what we read about in the dark ages. They gave their life, you know, with what little knowledge and faith they had. But they hung on to what they had, didn't they? And they knew, and one of the words was says, I cannot and I will not recant. And held on to that, didn't Martin Luther said that, I believe. And so we have to make that stance, no matter where we're at in God. Because it's the little things that we attain to. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I want to say E-I-E-I-O after that, but sorry. it's good to laugh too, isn't it? It's good to laugh. I thank God that we can continue on and and come together and gain strength from each other. Read the Word of God. Get strength from the Word of God, from the Holy Ghost that we receive in our lives, from the Word of God that's ministered to us through the ministry. We gain strength that way, don't we? And so I appreciate the little things. And one of the years ago when Sister Ken Singer was at the old church over there, she was still alive, and you know, you remember Sister Ken Singer, and she'd get up and sing her little song, "Precious Lord, Precious Lord, I want to praise you forevermore," you know. And even though she couldn't sing that well, she'd touch her hearts, wouldn't she? Just the little things, isn't it? But she got up and said a testimony one time, you know, I got a revelation out of that. And so you never know what the little things will do. The minister up there, and he may be, you know, just, you know, coming down with the Word of God, going down the line from Genesis to Revelations and back again. And you know, okay. Then some little old grandma saint gets up and says something. Then the light bulb goes off in your mind, and you get a revelation from God that stays with you. That becomes part of you, you know. And it's all needed. It's all needed. So I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Well, Brother Thompson, it's the little things we do that count for God. It's not how great we've been, and it's not who we are, but it's the life we live from day to day that causes God to turn our way. It's the little things we do that count for God. And not just, as he was saying, not just what we do, but the little things that God does for us from day to day. And I appreciate that so much. And I'm thankful to be here and thankful for this family feeling, as has been spoken of earlier. And it's good to feel that. I thought last, not just this past Wednesday night, but the one before that, my husband and I went to another church and visited, and I told him after we left, I said, I just feel so just unsatisfied. Is it unsatisfied or dissatisfied? I don't know. Sister Sherry, which one is it? Dis. Thank you. I said, I felt whichever one it was. But I said, I feel so dissatisfied. You know, not that I thought I would get something, I don't guess, when we went, but I was just like, I just want to be back at home, you know, back in our services. And I'm so thankful that we can just come in and just sit down and just, you know, just feel after the Lord and just let it, you know. I mean, I know we're to press in and reach out for the Lord and all that, and but it just feels good sometimes just to come in and just sit down and just have that familiar spirit, you know, and the love and the I think that part of that song was feeling accepted and loved and forgiven, a part of his warm family. So I just appreciate the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful to be here, thankful for all the good testimonies that we've heard, and I want to go on and I want to serve him. And it's not, like Sister Lynette said, doesn't mean you're not guaranteed a place just because you're born in here or come in here as a small child, but that does give us a leg up, if you will, as far as we're taught, you know, the things that we need to know from the beginning. Of what we choose to do with that, that's left up to each one of us. And I thought, I've been talking to one of my cousins quite a bit here lately. We've just been texting back and forth, and finally have gotten to talk about God now. It's just been kind of catching up, you know, how have you been and for the past 20 years and this and that, and now we're talking about God now. And so she told me about some things that she'd gone through and how that it hurt her, you know, it was at the church and everything. And so I told her, you know, no matter what, God has never failed me. Man may have failed me, family may have failed me, people in the church may have
failed me, or I may have perceived that they failed me, but God has never failed me. I can't lay the blame on God for what man or what flesh has done. That's not his fault. He doesn't force man to do what he wants him to do. He gives us a choice. Whether we follow that or not is left up to each one of us, you know, individually. So I told her, I said, God has never done me any wrong, and that I can hang on to, you know. And so she said, well, I'm glad you're able to deal with it. That was her response. And she said, I'm exhausted. I'm going to bed. I'll talk to you in a day or two. So that's as much as I can say right now, and that's okay, you know. But I love her, and I hope the best for her. But it is what we do from day to day, you know. And I love the Lord. I appreciate him so much. I appreciate all of y'all in this assembly, and I want to go on and serve him.
All that I hear, all that I feel, this is a wonderful place, and I do feel at home from time to time. I'll just take my shoe off. It's a precious place to feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the peace of God here. Thankful to be among God's people. As you mentioned, Sister Lynette, in your talk, that we've been chosen by his loving hand. He didn't make any mistakes at all. I'm glad that he called me to this wonderful place. Oh, yes. There's no price you can put on it. Salvation is wonderful. I thought about all the years that I run searching for something that I've never found. I didn't find it in the taverns. I didn't find it in the dope house. But I found it. The city of a living God. Just thinking about my life, how that I passed here several years ago. And each time I pass here, I think that's where God delivered me and washed me in his blood, cleaned up my life, and set me on a pathway to love him and please him. I haven't always done the right things. I've made several mistakes. But you know, the Word of God will comfort you and guide you. I've made mistakes, but the Lord has spoke to me and said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I can get up from a failed trial and go right on trusting God. I can trust Jesus tonight, can't you? I trust him with personal problems, things I can't share with you. Early of a morning, I can get up and say, Lord, I'm going through something. And I've got to have your help. I'm going through something. And Walmart Pharmacy in Walgreens is closed, and I can't get it. But God has a prescription for my life, and yours too. And you better call it in. Yes, they won't have it ready. But we serve a wonderful God tonight. He's a faithful high priest. A faithful shepherd. He brought us in, didn't he? I'm thankful for this family. Man, my natural family is all scattered. Pitiful, pitiful. We don't get along a lot of time, but I found love and peace here. I thought about the scripture in Matthew, talks about, I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was thirsty. I was thirsty for something different than Jack Daniels and Old Crow and Southern Comfort. And you gave me a drink. And I've been an alcoholic ever since. Yeah. I appreciate God tonight, don't you? I appreciate getting to walk with him. Yes, I've had trials that says, man, why don't you just give up? But I can't. God won't let me. Remember an old song over in the old church, Jesus got into my heart. He got into my soul. And he won't let me go. I'm glad in some circumstances he hadn't let me go. When my wife died, I thought, just let me go now. I'll move out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and get a trailer and live in the desert. I don't care. But God kept saying, I'll be your soulmate. I'll be your friend. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's encouraging to me to walk with God. And sure, that's all of us. Our endeavor is to please the Lord, isn't it? We've got a task set before us that other people don't have. They say they already got it made. But we know we're working on it. We're on the job endeavoring to please the Lord and walk in his footsteps. Drove by a church here not long ago. If you say you're God's child, you should be acting like him. And probably at that time, I wasn't acting like the Lord's child. God has a way of getting your attention. He loves us and he cares for us. We may feel forsaken sometimes, and that no one knows and no one cares. But let me tell you, I had a trial here not long ago. And I said, Lord, you don't care about me, do you? You don't understand what I'm going through. What's going on? And in no time flat, he spoke back to me. He said, I'm a man well acquainted with grief and sorrow. That sealed the deal for me. I can trust Jesus tonight, can't you? I know that he cares for me. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is perfect toward him. I said, those whose heart is committed to him. You want to trust him? Get on board. He'll try you. Yes, he will. But he'll also bless you. And God has favors, benefits, healings. You want in on them tonight? Trust Jesus. Yes, he has an avenue he can take you down. You'll just hold his hand. I appreciate the Lord tonight that he delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Yes, he has been good to me. So good to me. He gave me a chance. My family background, I search and search. Why did you choose me, Lord? I'm off of that track now. I'm thankful that you didn't leave me out there. That you didn't leave me out there. Oh, no. I appreciate God that he brought me into this great pavilion, and I found a hiding place, and I love it. When I think of a family, I think of you all. When you're suffering and going through something, Bill Daniels may be up at 3 in the morning praying for you that God will help you. When I'm driving down the road, you're part of my family. You're my brother and my sister that I'm praying for you. We all belong to God. And Sister Watson, you mentioning today in your talk how that you want to please God, I got a scripture for you. Proverbs 16. I believe it's verse 7, says that when a man's ways or a woman pleases God, yea, are his enemies at peace with him. And we make enemies on the job, in the grocery store, out in the public. But the scripture says when a man's ways pleases God, then are his enemies at peace with him. Isn't that a wonderful benefit? Yes. Even your enemies, can't overtake you. Not only that, the scripture says that this is a benefit. Think about it. You may agree with me later on, but God dispatches an angel for your safety, for those that fear him and love him. Not everybody has those benefits. We're covered tonight. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, they don't have that. They can only take you so far, but our God, the God we love and serve, and we are endeavoring to let our lives show up, that when people see us, they know there's something different about that fellow or that woman. It was said of my cousin Daniel, that you are a man of an excellent spirit. Yeah, that's what was said about the prophet Daniel. You got an excellent spirit. How'd you like the Lord to say that about some of us? Yeah. And then finally, what he said about his son, I'm well pleased with it. I'm thankful for the steps that we get to walk in tonight. Bible study was wonderful this morning. So wonderful. The more I hear about resurrections, who's going to get a resurrection? Man, it's feeding my soul. I appreciate the words of this Bible, but the life of God that he's given me. I'm thankful tonight. I want to endeavor to continue to please the Lord tonight. I may walk out these doors tonight and do something odd, but I know that there's power in the blood of Jesus tonight. I'm just thankful to be here. Let's go on. What do you say? Bible says we shall go on. Yes. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Your God hadn't forgotten you. He hadn't forgotten you. Let's get all we can. I appreciate our ministry, don't you? They've saved my life. Brother Leninger saved my life on many occasions. Just over the Bible stand, just preaching. God warned me through his ministry, beware. Oh, yes, I appreciate our ministry. And then you can go to him and counsel and get something for your soul to keep you on this wonderful way. For the eyes of God roam to and fro. God's looking for his people tonight. He cares about us. Oh, yes, he does. Let's stay with him. What do you say? We go through some difficult times. I've been so discouraged, depressed, but God brought me through. I can trust Jesus tonight. Let's continue trusting the Lord. Let's continue walking with him and holding his wonderful hand. As he's reaching down to us, we should be reaching up to him. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate getting to be here and talk with you and love you as a family. No other place could I have found the peace that I found tonight. I'm glad you brought me in, gave me a drink. I was naked and you began to clothe me with the word of God. Now I got my shoes back on my feet. Oh, God. When I first met these people, they used to sing a song. You did not come here by chance, but you came here by his loving hand. You didn't just stumble in here. But I knew God had his hand on my life. I'm glad, as Brother Durham has told us many times, resisting God. I'm glad I didn't resist him. I didn't, the natural men resist being arrested. Warned out for your arrest. What? Yeah, been there 6 months. Remember that ticket you didn't pay? All right. God arrested me one day and brought me to this great courtroom. When I heard the verdict, it's either life or death. So I'll take the life sentence any day. Gift of God is eternal life. There's a payoff. But the wages of sin is death. I sure didn't want that. So I'm glad for this wonderful highway. Highway of holiness God brought us to. Yes, I appreciate the Lord tonight. May the Lord bless you in the remainder of this service. Appreciate it.
Not sure what key I'm going to sing this in, so we may have to change it a few times, but I appreciate the testimonies that I've heard tonight about God bringing us in. He chose us, the first course that Lynette did, and I'm thankful. And like you said, you may be born into this, but it didn't give you you have to earn it. You got to work just as hard as anybody else. But I'm so thankful that I'm still here and that God's hand of mercy is, he's kept his hand of mercy on me all through my life. And I'm just thankful to be here, and I'm going to try this Chosen in God. And it's a really old song, but, you know, some of our older songs are some of the best ones, you know. So I'm going to try this, and I may have to change it. was in vain. Till one wonder, that's way too high. You don't want to lower. My life was in vain. Till one wonderful day, when the clouds were the darkest, the Lord came my way. He said, child, I have sought you, for you've been astray. With his hand he led me to this great highway. Chosen in God for redemption's plan. Chosen in him I'll follow the Lamb. Oh, who loved me and saved me and taught me to pray. And he said, I'll go with you to the end of the day. He said, forsake all, lay each way aside. Run this race with patience if you be in the bride. Clothed in beautiful garments, she spotless will be, reigning forever in God's throne with me. Chosen in God for redemption's plan. Chosen in him, oh, I'll follow the Lamb. Oh, who loved me and saved me and taught me to pray. And he said, I'll go with you to the end of the day. I long for the day when his beauty I'll see, when the spirit of flesh, oh, has been conquered in me. By the blood of my Savior, redeemed from all sin, and the rapture will taken, 'twill be victory then. Chosen in God for redemption's plan. Chosen. Chosen to lay aside all wealth and birth. Chosen to walk in the straight narrow way, oppressing the battle, oh, till the end of the day. Chosen in God for redemption plan. Chosen. The dog.
I'm living in. And I know that, you know, from and with my eye of faith, I realize that God is going to reestablish His church among the Gentile people. That's who we are. That's the project we've been working on. And I'm glad to be a part of it. You know, I may not be. We had Sister Slazier, Grandma Slazier, back years, several years ago now. But she was a small lady, and she said she had a dream. And in this dream, she seen this beautiful, beautiful green field. And there was a fence around this green field. And she said, I was a staple, just one staple, helping to hold that fence. She said, thank God. I'm just a staple, but I'm helping to hold the fence. Man, what a tremendous revelation she had concerning. She called it a steeple. I remember that. She said, I'm just a steeple, just a little bitty steeple. You know, but I'm part of it. And, you know, of course, it's been many, many years since I started in this way, but I remember giving my heart to God one night and saying, Lord, I want to be a part of your great kingdom. I didn't have a clue what I was asking for. Not one clue. I didn't realize that God had a great big plan. You know, I didn't know that He's going to restore a church among the latter, you know, this latter rain church, and He was going to reestablish His whole truth, and that He was going to become manifest every bit that He had. He's going to manifest it among people, and there's going to be a latter rain church and a ministry and all the truth and His sevenfold spirit. You know, I didn't have a clue about none of that stuff, but I had a feeling in my heart. And I wanted to be a part of what He was doing. And I thought here today, as Brother Smith was speaking this morning, my Lord, he covered so much ground. Such a short time. You know, if we were really listening close, this world, and let me back up and iterate this point. This world out here has been sown down with a pack of lies. And, you know, you can walk into a honky-tonk and walk up and sit down on a bar stool beside a guy that's been there for several hours drinking, you know, and he's drunk. And you can ask him, said, do you know what's going to happen to you if you die tonight? And he'd probably tell you that he's going to a bad place. And the reason he would say that is because this world has been sown down with so much ideology about God. And I thought here a while ago, as Brother Daniels was speaking, he made mention of his cousin Daniel. I don't know how many of you picked up on that, but I didn't realize he had lineage that went back that far, but, you know, I learned something about him tonight. And, you know, I've been around him for many years, Dad. This is the first time I ever heard him say that. I didn't realize he had a cousin that was that, you know, that far back. But, you know, when we look around and we look at this crowd that's here tonight, and I realized in my own mind, you know, that if you were picking, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't pick me. At least not all of you. Some of you might pick me, but you know, my wife still might pick me. After 50 years, she still might pick me. But then on the other hand, after 50 years, she might not. You know, she might have had pretty good feel of me. But God is not through with me yet, and he's the one that picked me. And, you know, we ought to realize that we're something special. If you don't realize it, I'm going to tell you something. You're something special if you're here tonight. And you realize that God put you here. God put you here. You're special in the eyes of God. You know, and we all have children, or most of us do anyway. Or we deal with children, or we like children. These twins, Brother Durham's here. I've watched them grow from just little bitty things up to where they're at now, and they have really been a charge to me. I've watched them grow and just enjoyed them. Of course, Grandma and Grandpa Durham, they really enjoy them maybe a little more than I do, but I've watched them, you know. And they just run around here, and they don't act like they got a care in the world. But now, if you want to get on their good side, let me tell you what to do. Go to the store and buy you a couple of packages of these stickles. Is that what they call them? They call them stickles. And come here to church and gather them girls up and hand one of them a package and hand the other one the other package. You'll be on their list from then on. You know, that's how you do it. Brother Thompson was talking about little things. My wife found a package of them stickums that we had at our home. Didn't have a clue what to do with them, and she brought them to church with her one night, and she handed them stickums to them girls. Did you know them girls hugged her the next time she showed up at church? Just over some stickums. You know? But when we get to where that we understand more about God, and I was thinking, reference to this point, that Brother Smith covered so much territory this morning, and we heard the truth on the Word of God. And here's the thing that happens to us when we hear truth. Here's what our minds goes into a whirl. I remember when I came here, I thought that all children, when they died, they went straight to heaven. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, wait a minute. Those children are not saved. They're not, they haven't overcome. Some of them didn't have the Holy Ghost. How do they get to heaven without meeting the conditions that God requires of us? And then I got to thinking on the other side of the fence and thought, well, Lord, what's the deal here? What are you going to do with them? Where are you going to put them? But we heard this morning that God has a great plan for his family to such a degree that he's got a place for them. If we heard what was said. Was you listening to what was being said? The more that we learn about God and about the way he really thinks about things, the more we'll understand him, the more we'll love him, and the more often we'll make the statement, what a great God we're serving. You know, if you can't look at the universe, I mean, pick anything you want to choose in the universe, a tree, a plant, a person, a chair. You say, well, a chair or this Bible stand, it's just made out of wood. Yeah, but somewhere this wood was a tree. And, you know, it was a living thing at one time. And all the study that goes into a tree, all the intricate details about a tree. Did you know that there's not a leaf on a tree that doesn't receive some sunshine throughout the day? Every tree and every leaf on that tree receives some sunshine sometime throughout the day. Have you ever looked at a tree and thought, my God, look at all them leaves. You may not think there's so many there, you know, during the summer. But wait till this fall when they all fall out in your yard and you start raking them. Now all of a sudden there's a bunch of trees and leaves up there. But God made that tree to grow. What causes a tree to grow? What transpires? What all's built into it? It took somebody with a lot of intelligence to make a tree. Just to make a tree. You know, it took somebody with a lot of intelligence and ability to build this Bible stand after that tree was cut down. I think Brother Mark Boyd is pretty good in wood manufacturing stuff. And I think his brother is also pretty good at it. You know, but the thing of it is, God chose us to be a part of his great kingdom. God chose you and brought you here. You're a part. I had an experience this morning that my wife told, she forecast. In fact, it's probably her fault. In fact, it is her fault. For those of you that don't know, the state of Arkansas, and it is a law that you must fasten your seatbelts before you drive your car. Well, when we left the house this morning, my wife did not tell me to put my seatbelt on. We went into Jacksonville and we passed one car that had a guy there reminding him of something. I don't know what he was reminding him of. Drove up about a block. Passed another car that's sitting there watching the traffic go by, and I happened to go by. I seen him come out on the road behind us, and there was another vehicle in front of me. Anyway, well, I pulled up there just a little ways. He turned on these real nice blue lights. You know, some across the top, some in the dash. Not in the dash, but in the grill. Beautiful blue lights. They'd be great for Christmas time. They wasn't really all that pretty to me, but they were there anyway. So I stopped. He come up and he said, I'd like to see your license and registration. And when the registration, insurance, proof of insurance, and then your license. So I gave him all that. He went back to his car. And of course, this wasn't my first rodeo. I know what they do when they go back to the car. And they call in on your license to make sure that there's not any outstanding tickets. That's the first thing they do. And warrants, you know. Well, they come back, and he handed us, you know, handed me all the paperwork back. And he had one little deal there that was in, I believe it was a white copy and a pink copy. he said, Mr. McGowan, he said, you're supposed to have your seatbelt fastened. I said, all right, sir. He said, you do have a seatbelt, right? I said, yes, sir, I got one. Now, remember all this, and then not only that, my wife didn't tell me, you know, before we left the house that I was supposed to do it. Got to remember that. plus, she's been doing for several weeks, she's been telling me, Wayne, if you don't start fastening that seatbelt, you're going to be pulled over by a policeman. So she prophesied it, and her prophecy came true. You know, I guess if I'd have thought about it while the policeman was there, I'd have told him it was all her fault because she didn't tell me to fasten it before we left the house. Yes, she did. She had hers on. And he looked. He did look at the car. He said, "Your wife's got her seatbelt on." He said, I said, "Yes, sir, she's got hers on." But, you know, that would have been a golden opportunity for me to told him. Said, "Yeah, but the thing of it is, she didn't tell me to put mine on." You know. Well, you know how it is. Men like to blame the women, and the women like to blame the men. And really, it wasn't her fault. It was my fault. I'll take the full blame of the responsibility of it. But the officer gave me a warning ticket, which was nice. I really appreciate it. And I explained to him. I told him. I said, "I appreciate the fact that you're not giving me a ticket. You know, even though you could." He said, "You folks are on your way to church?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well," he said, "lift me up in prayer." So I said, "All right, we'll do it." And I really believe that if there's anybody in the world that needs to be lifted up in prayer, it probably needs to be our police officers, you know. But they're doing a job that I would not do, I'm telling you. That is not a job that I was called for, and I don't want anything to do with it. But my father taught me years ago when I was a teenager, said, "Son," he said, "remember this." When a policeman pulled you over, he said, 98% of the time, you're guilty of what he pulled you over for. He said, "Don't get smart with them. Don't get short with them. Treat them nice and respectful." There is no telling how many tickets that I have not received, even though I was guilty, because I've done that. I really did listen to my father, and he's kept me out of a lot of trouble. Now, how that's going to tie in with what we're trying to do here is this. There's somebody that's watching over us at all times. And I could look at that incident from this standpoint, you know, why in the world did that guy pull me over? He had no business pulling me over. But I know God well enough to know that he may have saved my life. He may have saved my life. And I have been in situations where that, you know, a thought would flash through my mind. I've been driving down the freeway coming from North Little Rock toward Little Rock and 6th Street exit. I was coming through there one time, hammered down. Thought went through my mind, what would you do if somebody come out of the hammer lane and took that exit? I don't know. So I just slowed down. I thought, you know, I don't want to run over anybody. I didn't have a clue what was going to take place. You believe if somebody come out of the hammer lane, cut across two lanes of traffic and took the exit in front of me? God will save our lives if we'll listen to him. And these situations where that, you know, I've been in other cases and heard people talking about, you know, said I got behind. My mother one time made a trip from Alabama to the house, and it should have been at least a five-hour trip. Should have been 5 hours, at least. Her statement was this: if it hadn't have been for some of them old fuddy-duddies getting in front of me and slowing me down, I'd have been here a lot sooner. Well, them old fuddy-duddies she's talking about was younger than she is. She was in her 70s when she done that. I'm thinking, how old has a person got to be an old fuddy-duddy? But I thought, you know, those folks that slowed her down, I mean, she could have probably made that in 3 hours, I guess, the rate she was going. As it was, she made it in 4. And them, pardon the terminology here, but them old fuddy that had slowed her down. Have you ever gotten into a situation where there's something just really eat on you big time because they're slowing you down, you couldn't get around them, you couldn't get past them, they just dragging along, you know, like they had 14 Sundays to look at something. And here you was, you're in a hurry. You want to get there now. And they're slowing you down. And then you get on up the road, you know, and you find out there's a wreck. And you would have been there just about the time for that wreck if it hadn't have been for that person slowing you down. So what I'm trying to say is that probably what we ought to do is be a lot more thankful for everything that happens around us, because it may be God trying to help us and save our lives. And the fact that he's brought us here, back to my main point here, the fact that he's brought us here should really cause every one of us to be thrilled beyond belief, because it's God that's dealing with us, trying to save our lives. Not our natural life, but he's trying to save our spiritual life. When we were born and come into this world, we were under the sentence of death. Death was going to rule over our being. But God touched us and filled us with the Holy Ghost, saved us from that condition we were in. Now we have a chance at eternal life, living forever. You know how? Do you have any idea what it's like to live forever? You ever thought about it? That's a long time. And to be alive all the way through that. Woo. Tell some people, you know, it won't be long, I'll be 70 years old. My, Wayne said, you've lived a long time. You're doing pretty good for your age. But the thing of it is, what I see in this book, 70 years old is just a spring chicken. In fact, I ain't even sure that it's old as a spring chicken. I'm telling you, we're talking about life and more life, more abundantly than we've ever dreamed possible. When we really get into this and we really see what God's going to do with us, you know, and I've been through life. I've got children that are out in, well, some are in the world, some are in religion, other religions. So I know a little bit about what it is to have heartbreak, heartaches. I'd love to see them here. But you know, we raise our children, we try to imprint into them and impart into them this message that we have. But we can't do that. It's not our job. We try. I tried. I really did. But it takes God to touch your mind. It takes God to touch your heart. You to be able to see this, it takes God. And when you do see it, it's because God touched you. Amen. And if you see it, and you know that you see it, you can mark it down. God's got his hand on you. He's going to keep you. He's going to take you through the process. And you're going to come out on the other side a winner. We all have problems. It's just natural. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, if that guy would have known this morning, if he'd have known that I was a child of God, why, he'd have probably just let me go on, right? I was disobeying the law of the land. Child of God or no child of God, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land. He had every right to pull me over. And if he'd have given me a ticket, he had every right to do it. And if he'd have handed me one that said, you owe so many dollars to the state of Arkansas or whoever it is that you pay, you know, a ticket to, did you know I would have looked at that officer and said, officer, I appreciate you taking care and watching out for the good of the people of this city. And I would have meant every word of it. He was there looking out for my safety. I thought that I could probably take care of myself, but apparently not. But here's what Paul said in the book of Romans, starting at the 16th verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My Lord, what a great, great, great leader. You ought to tap yourself on the head or on the shoulder and say, I'm a child of God. Wave your hand at me. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. There ought to be a thankfulness in our hearts that surmounts and surpasses anything that we can think of. You know, some of us may have a lot of money. Some of us may have nice homes. Some may have new cars. But I want to tell you something. That in my life and in my heart, this surpasses everything that I've ever experienced just to be a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then to know that, you know, not only am I a child of God, but he's brought me to a place where I can hear the truths of the Word of God. They may not line up with everything that I've believed out in the world. You know, all the stuff that I've gathered up in my mind and in my heart. The truth of the Word of God that we hear here may not line up with all that. But that's really not the case. What the case is that junk out there doesn't line up with the truth of the Word of God. You know, that's the key. You have to have the truth to get free. You have to have the truth. And once you get it, once you really get the truth, you're settled in your heart, you're settled in your mind, you understand what God really means, what he says, and what he's going to do for humanity. Brother Smith told us this morning, he said, you can hear what I'm saying. You've got two choices. You can accept it, or you can reject it. When you accept the things of God, when you hear them, you may wrestle with them for a while. You may, you know, but when you set it in your heart, I'm going to accept the truths of the Word of God as I hear them, that puts you in a category of just. You become a just person in the sight of God. That's the one that counts, by the way. He's the one that counts. Not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your mom, not your dad, not your children. But God is the one that counts. He's the one that is looking at us and watching us to see what we're going to choose. And if something does happen to us that causes us to depart this life, we got a resurrection coming. What the word resurrection means is that you're going to come back from the dead. We're not going to be you know, surrounded with the same surroundings that we have here, it's going to be better. We talk about a restored church. We talk about a sevenfold gifted ministry. We talk about the seven spirits of God that are in full operation. We're talking about a church of people that do the little things. Hallelujah. That do the little things that are pleasing God and helping people. We're going to see. We talk about that. That's what I'm trying to say. We talk about that, but we haven't got it here yet. But it's going to be here. It's coming. I'm telling you, folks, it's coming. I can't emphasize that enough. But when you resurrect in the resurrection of the just, that church is going to be here. I'm not talking about laying there for hundreds and thousands of years either. But what difference would it make? What difference would it make? You know? Did you know that time is really relevant? And what it's relevant to is it's relevant to a clock or a watch. Or a smartphone that you can pull out of the pouch and punch a button and it'll come on and it says so-and-so time, you know, whatever time it is. But when you go to sleep at night, did you know that you don't have any idea what time it is when you wake up until you roll over and look at a clock? I went to bed here a couple of weeks ago now. I woke up and I thought, well, it's time to get up. We went to bed about 10:30. You know, when I woke up, I was ready to get up, I thought. Until I rolled over and looked at the clock, guess what it said? It was 11:15. I'm thinking, my God, I can sleep a few more hours. You know, I rolled over and went back to sleep. In death, it's the same way. You won't know what time it is. You won't know what's going on around you. It won't make a bit of difference. It won't hurt you. You know? And if somebody come in there and they could walk in, I guess, and swap me while I'm asleep. You know, if the doctors put you on an operation table, they can put you to sleep. They could cut your head off and you wouldn't know a thing about it. You wouldn't know a thing about it. Until you woke up on resurrection morning and they'd tell you, you know, all right, E-I-E-L, right? But you'll be in the resurrection of the just and you'll come up, there's going to be a church there that's in operation. We're trying our best to build that church. We're working on it. We're laboring for it. We're longing to see it come. I am. I'd love to see it. I've been working on that a long time. I'd like to see it come into existence, wouldn't you? I'd like to see the operation of that church. You know, if I could live a few more years and, you know, and be able to walk and not have to walk up and say, eh, what'd you say? Eh? I'd like to live long enough to see it. But if I can't, I'd surely like to go down a justified person. I want to go away from here judged. Because I want to see that church restored. I want to see it in full operation. I want to see it operating in its fullness among the Gentile people. I've got a golden opportunity to be there, Brother Al. How about you? You want to be there too? All right. Anyway, we're working on it. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. To me, when it says an heir, it means that you're going to inherit something. You know, if I'm an heir to $1 million, it means I'm going to inherit $1 million, right? Of course, there's so many other heirs before, but by the time it gets to me, why, it's all gone anyway. But in this case, In this case right here, heirs of God, all the things Brother Daniel was talking about a while ago, we're going to inherit those things. Really inherit them. We're going to get some things that we, you know, we're just dreaming about right now. I'm dreaming about eternal life. Living forever. Being covered with the Spirit of God to such a degree that I can overcome and become perfect in His sight. I can please God in every move that I make. Everything that I say, everything that I do, it will please my Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus said He was doing here. He said, I please my Heavenly Father in everything. He done that. And joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ inherits, we can inherit. Just thinking about that makes my mind hurt. My Lord, my mind cannot hardly reach out and fathom that statement. You know, eternal life, living forever, reigning in the bride of Christ, being a part of the greatest thing that's going to ever happen among you know, in this world. My Lord, that makes my brain hurt. It really does. It makes my brain hurt. Of course, it doesn't take a whole lot to make my brain hurt anyway, but then he said, join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Cares of life can get us down. It can cause us to get to the point we're not even sure that God is interested in us. But if I can say anything to you tonight, I want to tell you this. God's interested in you, or you wouldn't be here. I don't care how low you go. I don't care how big the problem is. You're still His child and He cares for you. Amen. You can put your trust in Him. You can call on Him. And He'll hear your call. He may not answer it like you want Him to answer it. But God will give you the answer and He'll lead you the way that you need to go. That's the point. I'm glad to be a part tonight. I'm glad to be here, knowing that God is doing something in this earth and that we are a part of it. We are. We are. Not somebody else, not Joe or Jim or Johnny out on the street out here, but it's you and I, the ones that are sitting in here in this service tonight. We are the ones that are part of what He's doing today.
For what God is doing in my life, all the different ways that He shows me that He loves me and He's taking care of me even when I don't know the next step to take, He makes a way for me. I listen to a lot of songs on YouTube now since my granddaughter Lavasia got me started on there. And got me on Facebook, and I'm sure she's going to teach me a lot more things. But anyway, I heard this song on YouTube one day, and the tune is beautiful, but not as much as the words. I'd like to read it to you. It says, how many times must I prove how much I love You? How many times must my love for You I show? How many times must I rescue You from trouble? For You to know just how much I love You. Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind when you walked upon this problem. Didn't I step right in on time? When you got weak off like a week along life's journey, my angel carried you so you would know just how much I love you. How many days must I be a fence all around you? How many nights must I wipe your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through for you to know just how much I really love you? And when the pains were racking your body, didn't I send the healing down to you? When you were lost in sin and sorrow, I died to set you free so you would know just how much I love you. I don't think I've heard a love song this beautiful that the Lord. But then I was thinking about what Brother McGowan said about those tickets with no seat belts. I thought I was doing pretty good not wearing one because they cut me right across the neck and it burns my neck. And so I never got a ticket with one until just a few months ago. Just two blocks down the street, she stopped me and so she gave me a ticket. I'm just glad that the other things that were wrong, she didn't include them in there too. But I'm very faithful about putting it on now. I may get a block or two down the street before I realize I don't have it on, but I do put it on every time now. But there are times I know that God must have saved my life and saved me from a lot of things that maybe I didn't realize at the time, but some things I did because I came off the freeway at 6th Street one day, and there was a homeless man, and he was wanting some money, and I knew I didn't have but a dollar on me, but I was trying to find it, but I got the light and had to turn the corner, and then you get across the bridge, there's another light, and I was still looking down at my purse. I knew I had it, and I wanted to go back and at least give him that, give him something, but then I looked down, and that split second, the light changed. A car turned the corner, and I know that I just had to miss that car maybe about 3 feet at the most. I just barely missed it. And then here not long ago, maybe last week or two, there's another light where I was turning, and this car was coming straight at me on Baseline, not far from Gar Springs, and that was a very narrow escape. And I'm so thankful that God keeps his hand on me and protects me. But I don't know. I know I don't deserve all his love and care for me. But I'm so thankful that he does. I just want to dedicate my whole life, every moment and every day and night, to serve him and to do everything that he would have me to do. Not everybody would agree with everything that I do. They would think I should be doing something else, but I gotta obey God. I gotta do what he would have me to do. And I wanna do that with all my heart.
Hey, if I lose any of this, some of this is my wife's, but all this change is Sister Brian's. So if you vacuum it up, make sure she gets it, would you? somewhere. I'll write you an IOU and pay you sometime. A thought occurred to me whenever the service was going that chosen of God, and of course, chosen of God, my mind may be different than your mind. The way I view things may be a little bit differently, our backgrounds and such. But a thought occurred to me that if you look into the 15th chapter of Luke, he goes through a couple of parables there, and he talks about the lost coin. He talks two times, once about a lost sheep, once about a lost coin. And then he goes into the prodigal son, how that the prodigal son had got his inheritance, and he went and spent it, blew it, and all those things. I got to thinking about those lost coins, but he said, how many of you who didn't have, who had lost a coin would not, he said if a woman had lost a coin, she would sweep the whole house till she found it. How many coins did Jesus lost? You name some. I listened to somebody name some other ones this morning. But another third thought occurred to me that we're all just coins, and we all have value. Some of us have, in the world sense, more value than others. Some of us may have a lot more value. That don't necessarily mean it's more value in God's eyes. That just means it's more value perhaps in man's eyes. You gonna give me some change too? I'm good. I'm taking handouts if you want. And so a third thought occurred to me as people come in and out of church, that they may feel that they don't have, you know, this carpet is very hard to see. It's a lot like life. People get camouflaged in life and they can't be seen. And then they think that nobody cares and God ain't listening. And I know I'm not behind a pulpit. I know I'm moving around a little more than normal. It's very awkward for us all, especially me, since I'm the one doing it. But I'm telling you that God knows where you're at. He knows where you're at in this. And if everybody'd like to come up here and walk through here, I would bet you, because you don't know how much money I just threw on the ground, it's probably less, or it could be more. Some of it has greater value than others, but every bit of it has value. To a rich person who don't value what he has, he'll walk past all the cheap coins here. They used to be real silver, so they're worth a lot more. How far did I make it back here? Here's one. I think that's my last one. Yeah, two, right here. Now, he would step over this penny, probably the dime, quarter, penny again, couple quarters, nickel, and he'd come up here and see the dollar because that's what he wants. That's the way his mind works, is he don't value those little bitty things. But a man who's really rich, who really minds his business, okay, I don't mean he ain't nosy, I just mean he values, truly appreciates everything God's given him, whether great or small, he will reach down and pick up in pennies. How many pennies do you think are laying in the city of Little Rock today, in the ditches and in the streets that get trampled underneath the feet of humanity, Brother Daniels, who was camouflaged in society? That's what you stated. You were part of it, as we all are. How many of them do you think that man walks past every day? And then when we gather all this up, where'd it go? There's my penny again. When I gather up my penny and my dime and my quarter and my penny again and my quarter again and my nickel. Hey, how much did you give me? Now, I'm going to attribute some of this to poor eyesight. Yeah, I got to keep looking. See, that's because I'm a man of poor eyesight. Ask yourself, which one of that are you? Do you think that you're just a dollar laying up here? Or do you think you're a penny? Do you think that you can only contribute a penny, a penny's worth? Do you think that you have no more value than just a few dollars? A change? How many people, how many of us have sat and lived through society and waited for somebody to help us, somebody to pick us up? But I'm here to tell you, God ain't just passing over you. That's man passing over you. God's sweeping the house. God's got the sheep in the wilderness in a safe spot. Go read the parable. That's what it says. And he's going and looking for his little lost sheep. That rich son stayed with his dad all of his life, and he got mad because the younger son wouldn't spend his money. And here's what it said. It said, and fain would have him that he would fill his stomach with a husk that the hogs did eat, but no man would give it to him. Because he couldn't find what he needed out there. Just like these little coins lost out here in the street. Now ask yourself, if you've been given all this, for whatever worth it is, why do I broadcast it out? Why do I take my inheritance and go and waste it upon my own design? I'm here to tell you that God loves each and every one of you. And some days I feel like that coin, like that little penny out there ain't worth hardly, to be honest with you, a penny ain't even worth a cent anymore. I don't. Somebody want to get the value of a penny right now? It's less than, I think it's 40.41 something. What's half of a cent? 50? It's not 50 cents. What is half of a penny? Well, I know that. I mean, put the nomenclature on the end of it. It's not penny. What is it? It's half a penny. Half a cent. Well, okay, then what's a real penny worth? And yet we agreed to come in here and work our whole life for a penny. That just seems kind of odd, don't it? But at the end of all that, we'll have more value than what we have now. And if you find yourself in that street all the time and in life and discontented and disillusioned, pulled away, people walking on top of you, and you're trying to find something, I'm telling you, God is passing over you. He's going to see you because he's a man that values wealth. The wealth of God is his church. The wealth of God is his people. You're just like those coins. You're just one of those sheep. Bah, ain't you glad to be a sheep? What sounds a goat make? Close. Michael could do it. Can you give us a goat voice? But we're just like that. And all of us, maybe not those that were homeborn, but all of us like me was in that condition, weren't we? And chosen of God, he's just like that man that looked down, because 100 pennies make what? $1. And 100 of these make what? And 10 of the hundreds make what? Well, just simple steps, ain't it? My God, why am I so poor? I need to start looking for pennies more. How many pennies if I come out of the 7-Eleven and look down there because I had a, you know, I almost don't even need this. I need everybody's debit card. We're going to scatter them across there because that's what we use nowadays. But, or a credit card. But, I don't mean to look at you like you use credit cards. I just, you caught my eye when I turned around, okay? I don't know if you got one or not. I should have texted you because I couldn't find anybody in this church had any change in their pocket. I was texting everybody. Everybody's like, I don't have any change. Of course, those guys don't wear change in their pocket because it rattles, makes big bumps, look nasty. Just unsightly, and it rattles. Like, I don't keep keys in my pocket either. But it's so simple that you get 10 pennies, or 100 pennies, you get a dollar, $100, you get so forth and so on and whatnot and everything and on. That's how life works. And so when you come in here, let me back up. How many times have I come out of that 7-Eleven with my cold Mountain Dew that I'm trying to quit drinking, and my Twizzlers that I thought was fat-free because it says they are, but I didn't realize that's really bad for me because they're all sugar. I told Justice, he said, you eating them Twizzlers? I mean, I was eating pounds of these things. I said, they're healthy. He said, they're fat-free. He said, well, turn around and look at the back of it. 300 calories. I'm like, oh. See, I was just hung up on I got to eat fat-free food. I didn't think about sugar-free food. You see, I just had half of the picture. I was like Apollos. He only had half the message, didn't he? Boy, he went running off there with only half of it. So, how many times have I come out of that gas station? My pockets? I had money. A few dollars. I mean, I'm not loaded by any stretch of the imagination at all. I work real hard. Don't I, Brother Oates? I work really hard, don't I? He's getting a raise. I like working with one of my brethren. I can pick on him. He's got to put on charity for me. I try not to make him do it very often. But how many times have I come out and just looked down? I've seen pennies there, but I'm in too big of a rush to pick them up. I got money in my pocket, so I don't care. But you know, Jesus has people all over. So he don't need anything. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He handles it all. This is just a quick little object lesson. I'm fixing it out. I just wanted to make you think about something for just a second. That when you're chosen of God, God's got a full pocket. He don't necessarily need you. But he looks down just as I come out of that 7-Eleven. He sees that penny that humanity's walked over and over and over and over till it's. You ever get a penny and you look at it? You ever look at the change in your pocket and you see that it's so wore out you can't even tell? You just know it's a penny by the color. The date's all stamped, walked off of it, and weather beaten, and it's all corroded and all this stuff. That's because it's just laid right there in a ditch and nobody's ever cared anything about it. God walks out and sees that old corroded penny with the date rubbed off of it and humanity's footsteps all over it and its own problems and its corroded lifestyle. And he goes, there's a penny. Look you there. And he puts it in his pocket. You're in his pocket tonight. And if you just keep simple faith, don't take a lot. Just to get in here, don't take a lot. And just the benefits of serving God is worth the purchase price, ain't it? Of just having good, simple faith. But so many people, they're so afraid of just stepping out. I'm going to need some more of these. They're so afraid of just so afraid of just moving out and letting God have an opportunity to choose them. It's like this dollar bill. That's good. It's like this dollar bill. If one of them little kids wants this dollar bill, all they got to do is just walk up and get this dollar bill. It's not hard. Kid you not. It's a dollar bill right here. All you got to do is just walk up here and get a dollar bill. That shouldn't have rolled off my lips more than once. Well, we got a lot of rich parents in here. You got to be under 5 to make this work. All you got to do is just come get it. That's it. Simple, simple thing. Looky there. Woo! God ain't an Indian giver, is he? I bet I get a hug next service, too. Where's the other one? Here, bring me those. And yet, God ain't just got a dollar's worth of grace. Man, you got one money grubber here, don't you? You're raising a gold digger. I'm hiding the rest of this. I don't know, boy, we ain't got any young kids, do we? Get that young. Well, if we happen to end up with a boy that's in that age bracket, watch out. Might want to get you an education. Well, we'll let her get hid there. Looky there, God's got another one. See how simple this is? Did she really see? Now that's a good heart. She just went and got it for her. How about anybody else? See, ain't it amazing how spiritual women are? They just walk. Speaking of which, I'm glad to see Sister Smith here. Aren't you? Amen. I'm glad she got to say something in service today. And see, boys are afraid. We got an image to keep up. I guess we do. So God just sits there and dangles it. He's fixing to put it up because he's wanting to sit down. Huh? Oh, better. Oh, is that what? That's what I did, didn't I? Oh, we'll jump it up to 15. How's that? 23. I'll go to 20. 24. Good Lord Almighty. Looky there. Hey, you got you a keeper. All right. How about this one? I'm going to need one more. Hang on. God ain't done. Come here. You're going to have to go to Mother Earth to get the other one. No. Looky there. Holy cow. My God, he reached perfection. Looky there. See, because he worked to the end of the day, God gave him a greater reward. But all that starts with the simple faith. You ever feel like you're that penny out there laying beside the curb at the 7-Eleven? I can only think of 7-Eleven because that's probably one of the busiest, nastiest places to ever go to is the gas station. Okay? And all you got to do is just have that simple faith. And I'm telling you right now, God ain't just passing you by. Okay? He's looking for you. And when you reach down, you know, sometimes quarters and pennies, they roll around and the elements blow them around. Water picks them up and moves them around. They're kind of like that person that's moved around by every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4, that we be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby men, by every cunning craftiness, whereby men lay in wait to deceive. Something like that. I'm going to post that one up there. It's 4 and 20, I think. 17, 18, 19. 20, 20, 20. And so we get in those little hard places. We find ourselves, and God has to get down, and he's willing to do this. The creator of the worlds, the universe, and the galaxy, yes, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. That's how the world gets us, and it just moves us around. And they get these little pennies, these little people. I was one of them. We find ourselves pinched in these little tight spots. And sometimes God's got to move heaven and earth, so to speak. He's got to get underneath there and work us out of a drain grate sometimes. I'm glad he did. And sometimes if you think that God hasn't, just, man, why won't God do something? And every once in a while you just feel the finger of God brush against you. You know that's him trying to pinch you, pull you out of that? Come on out of there, child. And us older children, if there is a prodigal that went out and came back, we're not going to be mad, are we? I would ask you just, you know what, I'm not going to say that. I was going to put a question to you, but it's really more just something to think about in the future about that parable from a different perspective than that way that we may have always considered. But I'll hold that for another day. So when you feel that finger of God brush against your life those times, let loose of where you're at. Don't be afraid of change. We voted a man in who said change, and I guess that's all we got. And I can only find a couple that had that. Good Lord. So it was just an object lesson. But I think it says something. Humanity didn't want me. A few people out there cared for me. But only for just a little bit of value that I did have. In other words, what I could benefit them by them using me and me expending my life force and my energies, my value, my knowledge to help them. That's all that mattered to them. But the great God of heaven looked down and he picked me up because he really realized the value of that old worn out penny laying there in the ditch. And I said, I'll sign on, God. I'm going to hang with this deal. Come hell or high water. Sometimes it's both at the same time. And I'm still here. And I'm glad for that. So ask yourself. So many times we're so busy overvaluing ourselves. I'm really just a penny, but I think I'm a dollar. One time a man got up. He said, I want to add my 2 cents in. I heard a man say, when he is done, that wasn't worth a plug nickel. I know. So it might not have been worth more than a plug nickel to you, but I'll tell you, I just wanted to do that little bitty thing. And if you find people in life just constantly putting their foot on you and walking all over you, I'm telling you, one of these days there's going to be a good man come by, a good Samaritan come by, and he's going to reach down there. He's going to say, look, you there? There is something of value. It may not be the prettiest. It may not be the flashiest. It may not be the latest and greatest. It may not be a 2013 version of the quarter. He may look down there and realize, oh my goodness, that is a 19, give me a good year for the nickel. There's certain nickels that are really expensive. They're real silver. Those are pre-55, I think. Is that right? Anybody know? Huh? Pre-55. He may look, you ain't a 2013 version of a nickel that really ain't even worth a nickel. Yeah. Yeah. Was it not? I thought nickels made of real silver. Was it dimes? Okay. Well, see, I don't deal with that, but it's just, will you blow my story up? Can you help me here? Okay, I'll use a dime. Huh? Anything before 45 because it had the real deal, the real material. Man hadn't got his hand completely in it like he has now where it's just devalued and has no worth. And so God looks down there and he says, you know what? Look at there, that is a pre-1955 quarter, nickel, dime, whatever you want to be. That's a wheat penny. And he says, I'm going to put that in my coin purse. And I'm going to use that for the good that it can bring. And he'll never use all the good out of you. You know that? He will never wear that out. Because whenever you become more valuable, he places more value in you. And it just is such a process. Chew on that a little bit. Anyway, I love you. If you see a penny and you don't want it, would you pick it up for me? And I'll take it off your hands, I promise. And I'm like a, what you call it, Stickums? Stickums? Stickums, he called them Stickums. I like Stickums too. Go get you a bunch of 20s and stick them in my hand. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you got that for what it's worth.
The King of all kings
in pity and love took me under his wing. So now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me his own, and I'm washed in his blood, and I'm clothed.
Rich.